Chapter 33. June 22nd of year 18. Since the beginning of the week, Adam and Eve have definitely preferred to attend their lessons. Only here in the command module can they escape the simulated gravity that tortures them in their quarters. Of course, they realize this tough preparation is necessary, but the sore muscles are still painful, and they can't just lie in their beds. They have to move around. This is the only way to get their muscles accustomed to the high gravity we will encounter on Proxima B. The torture has not yet reached its maximum level. Right now, we have only increased the rotational speed of Messenger to the point where the cabins experience about 3/4 of Earth's gravity. We cannot rotate the spaceship much faster, but the fabricators are already busily expanding the radius of the ship. No later than 2 months before arrival, the passengers are supposed to be accustomed to the full gravity of the planet. I am glad I do not have to participate in this program. My old bones would have failed, as even the gravitational acceleration on Earth was sometimes too much for me. There is a difference between being padded and wearing a diaper while having to withstand 6 or 8 G during the launch of a spaceship, or having to live the rest of your life at 1.5 G, 1.5 times terrestrial gravity. Adam has major back problems, and this is no surprise, since he is considerably taller than Eve. She, in turn, complains about severe pain in her calves. This is rather unusual. I ordered the incubation chamber to investigate, but it found nothing. Considering these new muscular strains, both of them are holding up well. The slight genetic modifications to their metabolism allows them to incorporate a significant amount of calcium in their bones in a short time, so that their bone density increases faster than in normal humans. But I did not call the two of them into the command module to discuss their health. We received new data from the Proxima Centauri system. We are finally close enough for the onboard telescope to detect more than we already know. The window once more turns into a computer screen. Adam, you should be glad about this, I begin. It looks like entering the system won't be that easy. We might even need your skills. The boy has turned out to be truly gifted in using the simulator, and on Earth he might have become an excellent pilot. Why? He asks. I zoom into the system on the screen. There, in the center. That's obviously Proxima Centauri, I reveal to him. Then at a distance of about 7 million kilometers, there is the planet where the message came from. It orbits its sun approximately every 11 days. That is pretty close and very fast, but we can solve this problem. But out here, about where Mercury would orbit in Earth's solar system, there is a real problem, a kind of asteroid belt that obstructs our approach. Perhaps another rocky planet used to exist there at one time. Or something interfered with its evolution into a planet, Eve adds. That's possible, but not likely, as there is nothing here that could interfere. Essentially, this system does not possess a Jupiter. Perhaps it was the gravitational effect of the Alpha Centauri double star? I nod involuntarily, until I realize no one can see it. Yes, Eve, that could be one cause. Eve nudges Adam with her elbow. Unfortunately, the asteroid belt contains a lot of material. It could have become a nice planet, or maybe it once was one, I explain. And the material is not just distributed in the plane of the ecliptic, but also above and below it.
But the asteroid belt in Earth's solar system only seems dangerous.
That is correct, Adam. This one, though, contains more material, and is much, much closer to its star. So there are considerably more potential collision candidates in a significantly smaller space. That makes it quite dangerous for us to cross this asteroid belt.
Couldn't we just fly around it? Adam asks.
That would be an option if we had unlimited time, I reply. The problem is that Proxima Centauri generates a flare about every 40 days. I am not sure we would want to expose you to the effects of one of these solar storms in space. It shouldn't be a problem for Messenger itself, but your biology is too fragile for this. If we need more than 40 days for approach and landing,
A flare will most probably catch us.
Adam says, That sounds as if we would be safer on the planet itself.
We would be much safer than inside Messenger. By now, we have more precise measurement data concerning the gravitational field of Proxima B. It looks like the planet has a large, rotating iron core, which amounts to 60% of its radius, much more than in the case of Earth.
Does this mean the planet has a magnetic field that protects us from radiation?
Eve asks.
Yes, it does, I reply.
And why did this not protect the inhabitants?
The giant flare, which could be seen all the way from Earth, must have been about 4,000 times stronger than a regular flare. Even the magnetic field couldn't shield them from it.
And how does something like that happen?
Eve says.
Could it happen again while we're on Proxima B?
We still know too little about that, I explained to both. Generally, red dwarfs are very stable. Maybe the fuel in its interior ran out locally.
I don't think so, Adam interjects. There must be another reason. Proxima Centauri is fully convective, and the fuel gets well mixed. If I remember correctly, its expected lifespan is 4 trillion years.
That is true, Adam, I say. We simply do not know enough about the causes of this flare. For the time being, we have to assume it could happen again, and take precautions as quickly as possible.
As quickly as possible? Eve asks, while looking at the monitor screen, as if I were right inside it.
Almost immediately after our landing on the planet, I reply. We can't do anything beforehand except study its star as thoroughly as we can, and on all wavelengths.